I sang this song in church when I was a very young teenager in front of about 600 people. Our church had about 600 people. And I still love the song, and I hope God blesses you with it. When they ring the golden bells for you and me, there is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach that shore by fate's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals there to dwell with the immortals. When they ring those golden bells for you and me, don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that fire of sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me, we shall know no sin or sorrow in the heaven of tomorrow. When our bark shall sail beyond the silver sea, we shall only know the blessing of our Father's sweet caressing. When they ring the golden bells for you and me, don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far of sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. When our days shall know their number, when in death we sweetly slumber, when the King commands the Spirit to be free, nevermore with anguish laden, we shall reach that lovely Aden. When they ring the golden bells for you and me, oh, don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far of sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me.
Thank you, Sister. Appreciate it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's have Brother Mark, if you could help us take a part. Amen. Let's sing a number here got cut off. Victory in Jesus. Actually, now let's just sing. Let's sing number. I'm sorry. These numbers got cut off. I want to see him. Number eight. Okay.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead and leads whatever betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys full I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep, and He leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, window of rapture on this blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in, I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, what music, oh, what singing o'er the sea.
stand to our feet. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, I'll sing, I will shout, and I will sing.
Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise this afternoon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. It's Brother Wade.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high.
Good hand clap of praise. God bless you. Good to be here. Good to be seen. Good to have the Lord on our side. Am I not on? Wait a minute. Now I am. Yeah. You can hear me anyway. Everybody answered me when I said something. They heard what I said. So. What do you need that for, Richard? Do what now? Keep it down. I'm kind of loud. Thank you. Okay. Lord, did you hear that? Keep it down. You're loud. Yeah. Oh, for the, okay. All righty. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's remember now the announcements from this morning. Next Sunday, Brother Dale and myself will be gone. We're leaving Saturday after I get finished work, and we're going to drive to Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and be with Brother Richard Hyatt. They're in Hopkinsville, and be with them that Sunday. There has been a schedule change, you know that? Okay. Brother Luis will be ministering Sunday morning, and Brother Bob will be ministering Sunday afternoon because Aaron's going to play hooky. And he's going to be doing Wednesday night service. So, and Brother Bob's doing Sunday morning Bible study, so he's, or Sunday school, so he's... We're going to work pretty Bob, all of them. We're going to work him. But y'all just pray for us. We'll be back Wednesday for the service, Wednesday night. And just pray for us to have a safe trip and some good weather. And we're going to be excited about this new place there in Illinois that we're going to be able to go to and do some deer hunting. So, Lord bless you. Remember us. Remember that next Sunday. Come and support. Don't do like when the cat's away, the mouse will play, and all that other good stuff, you know. Y'all come and support the brothers. Be here and be with them. So, also remember downstairs, there's a sign-up sheet on the refrigerator for everyone, all the men that are going to the Father's Day annual trip that we're taking to Tougaloo. We have four cabins that serve 8 people each, so that's 32 people that we can accommodate. But make sure you sign up. That will be June the 16th, which will leave Sunday after service, just like we did last year, and be there on the 17th and 18th. And Lord willing, Monday night we'll have our Low Country Boil and eat like you wouldn't believe. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Revelation chapter 8. Get started. Also remember us in your prayers. July 19th through the 21st, we're going to be in Flagstaff doing some services for Brother Chris Long. So he said to tell y'all hello. And Revelations 8, verse 1. Today we're going to talk a little bit about a piece of the seventh seal. We're going to talk about the shout. Amen? After we do a little bit of reviewing. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to stand before the greatest people on the face of this earth, the bride of Jesus Christ, the ones that, Lord, you chose before the foundation of the world. And now we're manifesting, Lord, what was in your great mind. Father, we pray that you would be with us now, be the speaker in this service, Lord, be the active participant, the one that does the speaking, be the one that does the hearing. Father, you're the only one that can do the revealing, so I pray that you come on the scene, Father, and just live your life through us as we yield ourselves to you, Father. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, the ones that has many requests. Lord, we always try to remember, Lord, right below our feet, there's a wall with names on it of people that are family members and husbands and wives and children and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters that are not serving you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that that will be fulfilled, that they would come, Lord, to you, Jesus. Lord, you're still in the saving business. We still got a little time, Lord, left to bring them all in, Father, and we pray that you would do that for us. Lord, just be with us. Take care of us. Be with the wife there, Lord, at her dad's house in South Carolina. They're coming back tomorrow, Lord. You bring them back home safe. We give all the praise and honor and glory to you, Father. Bless the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor. Bless each one today, Lord. Just give a supernatural strength and supernatural revelation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we were talking last Sunday on the seventh seal, just trying to get the seal part out, which there's really nothing to it. Just when the seal opened, there was nothing. There was silence in heaven. Right here in verse 8, or 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, with this being one of the greatest times that's ever been on the face of the earth, Brother Branham said he'd never worked in a greater realm. He had seen many things go on in his ministry, starting back in the early, even in the 30s, the 40s, 50s, and 60s, their early 60s. But he was working in a realm that he had never worked in that sphere before. Why? Because the totality of the Word was opening up. God was bringing something that he had not given to any one man except the man himself, Jesus Christ. That when he was on the earth, he preached the very word of God without any error. So now if Jesus Christ can come and preach 3.5 years with no error, then certainly we should know that Jesus Christ coming back in the end time in a bride would do the same thing. Not have all this confusion that we have and all these different doctrines and we can do this and we can't do that and we go do this and, you know, they made the seventh seal. The reason they made the seventh seal everything in the world but what it's supposed to be is because they don't have a revelation. All right. And to get a revelation, you've got to really pray to God that he'll reveal this, because like I said, if I put the blackboard up today, it would just stay blank the whole time. There's nothing to write. There's nothing to write on that board anymore. Now, we've been through a whole year of writing things on the board and putting this up here and putting that up here. But with the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. So there's nothing to write. It's just a white board. And it will stay that way because there's nothing else to be revealed as far as, like we were talking about, seal number 1, 2, 3, 4, and what each one meant. We've come to a seal now to where it's a total mystery. And even Brother Branham said, said that Satan is not even going to be able to impersonate. Well, see, Satan can impersonate a lot of things, but when you come up to a time where the Word of God's preached in its fullness and its entirety and its maturity, then we know one thing for sure. Satan cannot impersonate that.
Right.
Now, he can go so far.
Right.
He can go so far and he can get so close, because remember, we're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory, but remember the Bible says that there will be false Christ, false anointed ones in the end time that'll try their best to get so close, but they'll never be able to break open the mystery of that seal. You and I are the only people, the people that are here at the end, those who endure to the end shall be saved. I still enjoy that scripture there in Matthew, because that's what it is. It's going to be an endurance. So, you know, there's going to be battle-scarred veterans, the prophet of God said. This is not a picnic. We didn't bring knives and forks. We brought swords and shields and spears to this battle. And then, you know what? It's a battle for you to overcome just to come to church. That's why it is an overcome. I mean, it'd be really easy for us all to sit home this morning and you know, made us a couple of eggs and a biscuit and turn the tape recorder on and hit play. That has nothing in the Bible to do with your Christianity. Zero. On Sunday. Brother Brown said you can't wait till the doors open to get in church. What? To fellowship, not with each other, but to fellowship with God.
Right?
And so to overcome, it was an overcoming battle for us to get up and have to come. It's an overcoming battle for you to sit here without going to sleep. Amen? So I preach to the overcomers. You just get the regular ones that come. I get all the overcomers. Well, some don't. He does. That's right. Well, thank you. That's good. Yep. Brother Dale helps you to overcome, to get to this point. Yeah. But really enjoying the series there this morning. If you don't know anything about being spiritual, it goes right with what we're talking about right now. Right here. Same. There is no way you can get out of the seals and then out of the Bible. It's all in the Bible. It all is the part of salvation. It's a part of your redemption and my redemption. All right. It has nothing to do with this outside world, because the seven seals are to us. Now, sure, it occupies. I mean, it happens out there. But now, right now, none of that is happening. You don't see, the Antichrist has not become incarnate yet. He's working toward it. But what God's doing is he's becoming incarnate in us at first, and then Satan's going to do. So see, we get even though we're not going to be here when the actual play happens, we're actually the participants. We're the recipients of all this. We get to see the preview, you know, and when you watch movies, they give you a trailer. Give you a little snippet of what's going on. Well, this is not a trailer. This is not just a snippet. This is the movie. This is the preview. God's already previewing what's going to happen through us, and then it's going to happen to the outside world. Now, we've been through that many, many times, even in the sixth seal, how the disruption of nature is going to happen because of you. But what are you saying, Brother Wade? Listen, the seventh seal's not going to open without you. Oh yeah, it's open to the airwaves, and it's been preached by the prophet, and it's been revealed to him, I would say, what was going on, but he found out he wasn't a real recipient of it. It's just going to be the ones that are here now that are alive and remain, because the seventh seal's not to the sixth dimension. It's to this dimension. All the seals are to this dimension, and it's in your dimension that you're going to be able to see it. Amen? So it is for all of us. It's not something that we can't shun this. We can't kick it over to the side. This is something you and I have to participate in. The seven seals is the mystery of everything that's been holed up in the Bible has been revealed to you and I. It's been brought to us. Now we've had 50-something years, 60 years since the prophet's gone. And what have we done? I don't think we've went up the elevator far enough. I was telling them this morning when I was kind of, you know, sometimes you sit back and you go, well, God, why'd you send this message? I mean, well, we know why. But then you look at it and you say, well, you know, what came to me was, is you've got this big, beautiful skyscraper And this thing, they build it, you know, 100-something stories high, and it's really pretty. But what's the essence of that, of building that building? Sure, number one is there's not enough space, so they're going to let you, you know, build vertically. But it's the view. You go up to the top of this and you have a view, or you see more than you've ever seen before when you get to the top. I think Josh has been to the Empire State Building, have you? Yes. Josh has been to the Empire State Building twice. And, I mean, you can see forever because you're up there. But how did he get up there? And Sister Trudy McMillan said, well, steps. I said, well, if you want to go 150 floors in steps, you go right ahead. But God's give us an elevator. We've got an elevator that goes all the way to the top. And then, you know, if you ever rode in an elevator, like when I was in the Philippines, you get in the elevator and there's a guy standing there or a girl that mashes the buttons for you. That's kind of a perk of being in a 5-star restaurant. But Brother Luis, you can only get so high. You can only go to a certain level because the rest of that's private. It's for the penthouse. It's for the people that pay more than you pay. But you know what? That little girl, you don't have a key, but that little girl or that guy, he's got a key. Or he's got a code that when you go to floor 142, there's 8 more floors left. Well, now you don't get a real good view at 142, but now at 150, when you walk out on top of that penthouse, but you gotta have somebody there to turn the key. That's why God sent a prophet. God didn't send a prophet for us to become religious. God didn't send a prophet to tell us how to dress and how to do all that. Sure, he had to do it because of man putting their ideas in it. Brother Brown didn't change the Bible. I'm sure he met people. He said he met people that had the Holy Ghost the same as he did a long time before the message. Right. See, sometimes we think the message is this whole... No, the message is what we're talking about today. Right. The essence of the message is the opening of those 7 seals, something that's never been where that man had to turn that key so we could go on up for that 8 more floors or ever how many floors. Let's say 7. Let's stay with number 7. 7 more floors so that we can see. Well, now, it wasn't that there was nothing there. The landscape has always been there. Right? And that's why I say with the Word of God, the landscape's already been there. God wrote this Bible a long time ago. We're just fitting the image that he saw, and it's become a reality. Because remember, Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, right? Is that good enough? That's not good enough. That was in his mind. Christ had to come down here and physically do it because it was the mind of God. It had to develop. God doesn't have a thought that, well, I'll think of this and then, oh, no, that's not the way you want to do that. Well, let's try another way. No, God's thoughts are eternal. So as his thought goes out, it's got to happen. And it became material one day 2,000 years ago that this man we call Jesus Christ came on the earth and he was literally crucified. So that you and I could see it. By the eye of faith, we see it. Amen. We see that Christ was crucified. And he was crucified not for you, he was crucified for me. And you got to feel the same way because it's a personal revelation. As Brother Dale's talking about, the new birth is a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you. A personal revelation. Something that you can take and hang on to. And something that you can, when you walk out the doors of this church, you still got it. Amen? That's what I like. You still got it when you go out there and get on the job. And you still got it when you're out there and you got the storms of life or beating against your ship. You still got it. Amen? It's still there to hold on to you where you don't hold on to it. A lot of times it holds on to you. So talking about the simple plan of salvation is what this seal is all about. You say, well, it's the greatest thing since... What's the greatest thing ever happened to you? Yeah. Salvation. Amen. The greatest thing that ever happened to you is you got born again. Right. Amen? Amen? You say, well, no, it's the change of the body. If you don't get born again first, you can forget about the change of the body. Forget about the journey down the road, the overcomings and all that, because there's got to be overcome. You've got to overcome a lot of things, but when you get down to the end of the road, that's when your body's going to be changed. Well, listen, we're almost down to the end of that road now. Something had to come to us though to turn us, to turn us not just turn us to, well, I used to smoke, now I don't. I used to cut my hair, now I don't. I used to wear makeup, now I don't. That's not what this message is all about, folks. It's not. That's what we have spent 50 years majoring on a minor. We have majored on people not doing this and doing this and not doing that. And we've not got down into the depth of the message of what Brother Brown, the real true essence of this message is that you and I are, there's going to be a resurrection and a body change, and it's going to come through you and me. It's going to come through you and me. It's not going to come through a book or a special tape. No, it's going to come through what you have inside of you. When Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus, he didn't have to pray. He'd already seen it happen 4 days ago. He didn't have to pray, but you know what he said? He said, Father, for the people around me, what? The weak ones around me, I'm going to pray this prayer. But in other words, he should have just walked up there and said, move out of the way. Lazarus, come out of the grave. And that's essentially, that's what happened anyway. All right, so that's what we have to come to. I was telling him this morning, I think that our commission should be that we, Brother Brown tells us, and I'll read it, it's going to be on a part of another service besides this one, where he's trying to get the people into speaking condition. That's something you need to keep in your back of your head. Speaking condition. You say, oh, I'm what? You going to put your little whatever's in the blank? I'm insufficient. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Well, don't worry about that. I'm a child of God. Amen. And I'm going to do what the Bible says. Amen. Because I have got the I am inside of me, and that's what's going to work out. And that's what's with you and I, the same thing. We've been to all these great ways and different things that we've come to, but we're going to have to come to see that if we don't get this, and we'll get to it in a second, about the shout. When somebody shouts, what do you do? I mean, if Brother Ryan, no, ain't no way he'll shout. If Brother Anderson either. There ain't nobody back there that, Boyd, yeah, thank you. Sure, Sterling went. If Brother Boyd were to shout right in the middle of the sermon and y'all didn't know anything about it, and he just all of a sudden got up and said, I'm not going to say it really, then what would, your attention would be turned to him. Why? Because you heard something that you weren't expecting. Amen? So we'll get into that in just a second. So let's read John 19, because this, remember last Sunday, we were talking about the number 7. I hope if y'all weren't here Sunday and you want to get that list that I pulled off of the internet about the number 7, there's several of them right here on the front row if you want to pick them up. And Sister Cleta found out she was born the same day Adam was. Same year. Sister Cleta is, she calls on the phone, and she's just like my grandmother. My grandmother used to call and she'd say, wait, I need you to cut the grass. Grandma, grandma, grandma. Nope, that's what she wanted you to do, and she hung the phone up. There wasn't no back and forth, she hung the phone. So Cleta called the other day on my phone. She said, I just want you to know that that's the same man Adam born on the same, or that's the same day that I was born, the day that Adam was born, and she hung the phone up. She asked me this morning, she said, did you get my message? I said, I got it loud and clear. Lady, a few words. And that's okay. But we were talking about the number 7, but then we got into where Brother Brown will read it in a minute. Because I want you to keep this in the back of your mind, because we got to fit this puzzle together. Brother Brown said the seventh seal is the end of all things. Now, the end of all things does not mean, remember, with God, an end is not a total annihilation. Because even when we come to the end of the world, everybody talks about the end of the world. Well, now listen, the end of the world is just the beginning of the world that God's going to produce. Amen? Amen? The end of the play, even when you come to the end of the play and there's no more acts, what do? You have that play to remember. You have all the motions that got you to the very end of the play. And it was just an end of that scene. So this is just an end of the scene. Just like Brother Dale was talking about this morning, your life and my life, when it comes to, if it does come to an end, That's just the beginning for a Christian. It has come to an earthly end, and even when Jesus said here, Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now there was not one other word said, not one other word said by Jesus Christ himself in this dimension until he walked out of the tomb on Sunday morning. But now remember one thing, according to the world, nothing was going on. I said according to the world, nothing was going on. They had already put this guy, this lunatic, was dead. He was in a tomb. They had sealed it up and put a Roman seal on it, sealed that baby up, and put guards beside just to make sure nobody got in there to get him out. Right? So he was dead. To the world, he was dead. There was nothing going on. That Saturday was a high Sabbath, so all of your Caiaphas and all those different priests, they had to do the Passover lamb. They had to do the... They had to do whatever they did on the high Sabbath with the Passover and all that. And then it was a Sabbath day. So they just continued on. Jerusalem and the whole world just continued on just as they were. Now sure, there was a small group of people, but now remember, even that small group of people that were Jesus' closest followers thought he was dead. Right? They thought he was dead. It was done. It was over with. The one that we thought was going to come in and take over the world, he's gone. And we've never seen somebody come out of a tomb like that. Now, sure, now they might have stood around at Lazarus' tomb and saw Lazarus raised from the dead, but eventually Lazarus was going to die again. All right? So they weren't looking. Listen, what I'm saying is they weren't looking for anything special. They weren't looking for anything supernatural. Their Lord had died. Whoever that was that they thought he was the Messiah. You see all the doubt that Satan puts in the mind when we get to looking at things on the surface and we say, he's dead. Just like right now, I'm telling you, everybody thinks, well, the word's dead. There's nothing going on. There's no great move of God. Well, the great move of God better be inside of you. That great move of God better be something that on Monday morning you get up and say, God, thank you for getting me up. Tell me something else about you. Amen. Amen. And then you know what? The world's not going to know anything about it. But God, he was dead. The body was cold, dead in the grave. On Saturday. All day Saturday. It was dead. And you know what? The people could walk by and they see that seal and they see the guard standing there and they see that seal stuck up there. Nothing was going on. But the greatest thing in the world was happening is this man called Jesus Christ was now in his theophany. He had went to another dimension to fulfill scripture, to preach to the souls that were in prison. What? Condemning that group of people. But then he steps into paradise, another dimension, and picks up all those people in paradise and takes them wherever they go. So was he busy? Absolutely. There's no time that God's not busy. We're talking about God being, you know, taking a rest day, the seventh day. My, he hasn't rested. He just rested from making everything. Amen? He rested from the creation. God's never had to rest. Thank God for that. Can you imagine us being in a glorified body? Because that's exactly what you and I are going to do. We're not ever going to have to rest. If we sit down, it's because we want to. And when we stand up, Brother Hal, it won't be. We'll have to get up in parts. Right? How many of y'all are to the point to where you have to get up in shifts? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to get up in shifts. Legs. Legs. Move. One of them goes off. Amen? Second one goes off. Then you say, back, can you get me up? Yeah, and then you stand there, and June will stand there for a minute, and she'll go. And then she'll start walking. I think she's getting it in gear so she can move. But that's what we got to look forward to, because you know what? When this thing's over with, we ain't got to do that no more. So that's why we're heading toward that body change that us older people are looking more forward to than the younger ones. But if time goes on, you younger ones will realize that you have to get up in shifts. So Jesus was dead. I mean, it looked like there was nothing going on. Same thing. When we come to this great seventh seal, like I said, no blackboard with nothing on it. Whiteboard with nothing on it. So where do you go? You go, man, this is the boringest thing that ever happened. Well, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. Because what God's doing is God has moved us into the Holy of Holies. Where, remember, the Holy of Holies, unless somebody told them what was back there, nobody saw what was in that Holy of Holies. It's that one person. Amen? He had to come out and tell you what was going on inside there. But now what happens now? That when Christ has died and come back in the form of the Holy Ghost inside of you, then that Holy of Holies has been opened up. The veil was rent from top to bottom. They ought to realize something in that temple. Only something supernatural could have rent a 20-foot veil from top to bottom. Now, from bottom to top, you could have done it. You could have got two people and pulled it. But if the thing's 20-foot high, God ripped that thing open to show in plain view what? The seventh seal, or Christ. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. But when he said, it is finished, we've got to get to a place to where we see the word finished and end and all that. Now, what do you and I think of? We think of, you know, done. But listen, when we get to the end of this service, does that end everything? No, you got to go outside, fellowship, get in your car, go home, get up tomorrow, go back to work. We've ended this service, but we've not ended life. And even when your life ends and we looked at you and say, well, they look just really nice. There's nothing going on in this dimension. But they're over there in another dimension shouting and praising God and meeting all the ones that are already over there. So when we get to this, the seventh seal is the end of all things. We must remember that it is only the beginning of the greatest thing that will ever happen to you, and that will be your body change. Amen. The greatest thing that will happen, and it will have to come from nothing external, will change your body. We've tried to do that before. We were talking about stuff downstairs, you know. If you don't have hair, put some hair on. If you don't have teeth, put teeth in. You know, all these things. You do that because you're human, because you do it on this side. Okay? But now God's not that way. God's adding all the time. He's adding, should be adding to your spiritual walk every day. Some little something, some little way. And maybe even your husband or wife or your children don't know anything about it at the time. But something's going on inside of you. Amen? Because that's the real person. It's the real you. It's the one that's inside. Brother Bram said, I'm not looking at the real you. He said, you're not looking at the real me. The real me is inside here. And that's what God's doing. And that's what I'm telling you. The greatest mystery, the great mystery of Revelation 10:7, when the mystery is to be revealed, is that God sent a prophet to tell you you're God. Take seals, vials, plagues, Daniel 70 weeks, all the great marriage and divorce. Boil it down to one thing. God's going to do all that through somebody in human flesh. And Satan can't stand it. Because remember what Brother Brown said? Brother Brown said, as long as I hide it. Where'd he hide it? He's not hiding it in a box or hiding it in a book. He's hiding it in his heart. He said, as long as I hide something in my heart, he said, the devil, he can't get in there. Said, but now when I start speaking it out and I say, I'm going to go this way, he said, you watch. Kids will start crying and, you know, mother-in-laws will come over and father-in-laws will come over and all these things will happen. You know, right, Brother Anderson said, yes, amen. You didn't have to raise your hand, brother. That's all right. Got to have them. What about Solomon? He had 1,000 wives and 1,000 mother-in-laws. And he was the wisest man on earth. That's why he was wise. He had 1,000 mother-in-laws. We'll talk about that one after church. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not, the Holy Spirit of God will by you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. That's Brother Dale's talking about now. And I brought the quote. Listen to this. You don't have this, so just listen to it. It's on the breach. A seal signifies, now this word I got from the dictionary, a seal signifies a finished work. All right? And when the seventh seal is broken, the mystery of God, one mystery of God that's sealed in these mysterious seals is finished. Until the day that seal is broken, then it's revealed what's on the inside of it. Listen. If the man's wondering what's in that boxcar, you say it's supposed to be such and such. They're supposed to be. He's presuming. But when the seal is broken and the door is open, We see into it then and see exactly what's in there. You see, and that'll only be done at the end time. And that's exactly what's happened. It's been sealed. You have been sealed, but you've got to be able to produce what's inside.
Right.
Amen? We will. Every person will produce what they are inside.
Amen.
You won't be able to help it. Not in the end time. You can hide it in different places, but you can't hide it now. You will be made known one way or the other. Either God or the devil. So let's read this right here real quick. Number one, we're going to go over a few from last Sunday, if that's all right. Review it just a little bit. Let's go down to where it says, this is Revelation chapter 5. I love this quote. He breaks the seals. Go down to the red, or up to the red. He breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. He gives the inheritance that he inherited, becoming kinsman redeemer, and freely gives it out to us. It all belonged to him, and he's the one who redeemed. But instead of keeping it himself, he gives it back to his people. That's his love for us. Now, we know what? Now, he didn't have to inherit eternal life in his spirit or his soul. He was Almighty God. He was eternal life. But he inherited eternal life in his body. He went through that process. Remember when we were talking about the silence? The silence, Jesus Christ's body was laying there cold and dead. But it was getting ready to produce something that had never been produced before. When that Christ came back into that body, it changed that body into an eternal body. That's the inheritance that he inherited by going and doing what the scripture said. Because remember, Brother Brown said, God was withheld by his own word in that 3-day period. Right? He couldn't come out because the Bible says he'll not leave a soul in hell, neither suffer my holy one to see corruption.
Right.
So he had to wait, go and do the work that he was doing.
Right.
And then when he come back, and Brother Ray, when he stepped in that body, it changed that body into a young, eternal person.
Right.
And he inherited that. And now he's going to freely give it to me and you. It's just what the problem is we've had to wait 2,000 years, and it seems like there's silence. It seems like there's nothing happening. Oh, sure, they had great revivals, but they're all dead. Wesley, Luther, all those people, they're all in a grave. I mean, their body's in the grave, but they're over in another dimension waiting on one group of people. One group of people to catch this mystery. Sure, they knew that Christ was in them, the hope of glory. They could read the Bible.
Right.
But they didn't get the whole, they didn't have the guy that turned the key to get them on up 7 more floors.
Right.
To get the 7 seals open to where you get to the 7th seal and all you do is you see just what? As far as you want to see. Amen. And I think that's what the Bible, when it become a brand new book to the prophet, it's become a brand new book to me and it should become a brand new book
right.
to you. It
right.
should be where you, when you read this Bible, I'll promise you, if you'll read the Bible with a Holy Ghost revelation, you will say in yourself, where did that come from? Because I just read that the other day. I think somebody added something. That's how much you'll read that and you'll think, man, I've read that 14 or 15 times and then all of a sudden, right? How many of you done that? You almost swear that wasn't in there 2 weeks ago. Why? Because God's bringing you step by step as you need it. And that's the same way with these 7 seals. He didn't just drop the 7th seal and preach on it. No, he started with 1, 2, 3, 4, because remember, 7 is his completion or his perfect number, and we'll read that. But he breaks the seals and gives us the inheritance. So that inheritance of breaking that 7th seal is eternal life in your body. You already got eternal life in your body. I mean eternal life of your body.
Yeah.
Amen? Folks, we're either heading to that or we're heading to a grave. Because
right.
we're not going to keep going on and this is going to stay the way it is. It's going to be one of the two. All right? So let's read the next one, the breach, number 2. Now, when we go to breaking these seals, you're going to see it goes plumb back in the scripture all the way back. Well, now, what does it go back to? It goes all the way back to Genesis. We're going to see that, Brother Donnie, this is not far from that Genesis 1:26, man.
Yeah.
When the seals are broke, you're going to see that Genesis 1:26, man, is you.
Amen.
It's you.
That's right.
Because that's Christ. Amen. But it's you. Amen. Now, when we get to the breaking of these seals, you're going to see it goes plumb back in the scripture all the way back. For each one of these seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery. Now, if you want to know a mystery, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right. The mystery in you is that your body is going to be changed while you're standing here alive. Amen. The whole mystery lays right here in these seals. Yes. Not in the other things, not in the years of preparation, in the seals.
Glory.
See, every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals. And the seals cannot be broken until that time. What? This time. All right, notice now the book, remember, sealed. Here's one, here's a seal. It's a book of redemption. So anything, when you talk about seven seals, that's why that people, they make it everything in the book but redemption. Because you know what? Redemption's too simple for people. Supposed to be. Well, that's just getting saved, Brother Wade. That's just, you know, turning a new leaf. Or that's just crying and shouting like Brother Dale. That's just, you know, laundry list. That's believing the message. No, it's not.
Right.
You can believe his message every day of your life and die and go to hell.
Right.
But you can't have the one that brought the message inside of you.
Right.
You can't have the one that brought this message inside of you and die and go to hell. I'll promise you that. Because
right.
It'll take you right to heaven.
Right.
And the whole thing together makes the book. But it's a book of redemption. So everything we need to think about is just like I said before. It should be the book of redemption. From Genesis to Revelations, a complete plan of redemption is revealed in these seven seals. Oh, it's an important time. God help us to get it. Now, see, that was on the breach. Brother Adam hadn't even started on the seals.
Right.
And my, when he started in them, did he have a shock? Because all the old notes he used to have, he had to throw them away. This is all new to me, he said. This is not anything compared to what I had before. Wow. But you know, once he had it, he gave it to me and you.
Glory.
So you and I should have it the same way.
Right.
If God corrected the prophet and brought the word to us, what is our problem?
Right.
He's brought the pure word. Let's just do what he says.
Yeah.
Number three. Look what we've seen in this day. The quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. Now, like I said last Sunday, now, when you say quickening power, that goes back to that old Pentecostal idea that we have, that we got to be speaking in tongues, shouting, throwing hairpins, and all that other stuff. Right? All that quickening. None of that happened during the whole week of the opening of the seals. Sure, they rejoiced and had a good time. Amen. But there was no... Brother Brown had a healing service after the questions and answers. Right? And it was just laying hands on the people. There wasn't so much discernment or hardly anything. He was just laying hands on the people and going through the line. So what is the quickening power? It's the opening. It's God coming and opening the seals and bringing them to you. What was it? The intelligence of a man? No. The quickening power of God. See, when you get a revelation from God, it has to come from God, number one. And it has to be something that quickens you. God don't just, that's the only way you know you get a revelation is that God has quickened something in your life, because it has to be personally to you. So I can't say, well, I got the same revelation Brother Ray did at the same exact time he did. No, he's personal and I'm a person, he's a person.
Right.
God can reveal to him tomorrow what God's revealed to me today. God can reveal to him tomorrow.
Right.
God's sovereign, but God knows when you need it.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. God knew when we needed this. He brought it through Brother Branham. He brought the quickening power to open the book up. Well, now, who closed the book back?
Yeah.
Come on, our problem is we closed the book back. Well, God came on the day of Pentecost. He came down with a quickening power. He must have left. I don't think he's ever left.
Right.
When
God comes down, he don't ever go back up unless he takes something with him. Because he's coming down here in the shout. We're getting to it in just a minute. He's descending with a shout so that you can hear it.
Right.
He's not shouting so the whole world can hear it.
Right.
Now what's happening when we leave? That seal that opens, the whole world's going to hear it. Especially through those two prophets in the sixth seal. The whole world's going to be against them two people. But you and I are going to be gone, and there's not even going to be a mention of Spoken Word Church in the newspaper that there ain't nobody there anymore. Right? There's not going to be in the Gainesville Times, there's not going to write an article and say, well, we don't know about Louisville Church. They had 100 people, now there ain't nobody. See, there I believe all y'all going to make it. You didn't catch that, did you? You should have said amen, but you like. But the church is empty. Let's write an article. No, they'll never even know we're gone.
Right.
Maybe just some of your acquaintances or some of your family members might know you're gone, but the world's not going to know we're gone. All right, let's go to number. No, let's go down to the. Going back up. Quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. What was that? The intelligence of a man? No. The quickening power of God. Now look, going down to the red. Keep going. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. For the whole word of God is Christ. So what is the seals? What is the opening of the seals then, Brother Branham? Revealing Christ. And where is Christ right now? Who said I am? Thank you. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure, Freedom. Okay. No, really. Revealing Christ. And where's Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where's this revealing of the seals? In you. I can stand up all here all day and have that blank board in front of us. It'd be more silence in heaven for hours. Not just 30 minutes. Why? Because I couldn't say anything about what was on that board. You couldn't either. But if God reveals something to you, he can tell you in your secret of your heart. And you can keep that thing. And we do that. He's the one who opened those seals. He is those seals, for the whole word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of seals then? Revealing Christ. Now that's on. It is the rising of the sun in 1965, preached after the seals were opened. So he ought to know what he's talking about.
Right.
Now let's go to number four, the seventh seal. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's what we've been talking about. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world, it every bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets. Remember, all trumpets sound on the sixth seal. Amen. And the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is the same. We'll get into that later on. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. Now, if you take that right there, then Brother Branham's wrong when he preaches the future home. When he says it's not going to be annihilated, it's going to be renovated. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, but it's not going to be this earth blown away and God create a new one.
Right.
No, it'll be the end of the earth the way we know it.
Right.
Amen? It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time.
Right.
Time runs out. The Bible said so. Remember in Revelations 10:7. Everything runs out in this time, the end of this seventh seal. So, and I want you to see something. We're going to read several quotes here where Brother Branham talks the end of the seventh seal. So the seventh seal is not just, I think that sometimes we think, well, the seventh seal opened.
Yeah.
No, it's a continuation.
Right.
It's a continuation. It if you want to be real technical, if you want to say anything about the seals, when you got born again, I just read you what the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Until the day of your redemption. Well, the seventh seal produced itself when Christ came in you.
Right.
Even in your baby form. But you didn't know how to handle it.
Right.
Like we were talking this morning. You know, babies are wonderful. But you know what? If you take a baby and you set it right out there on that street, it's going to go right across that road. Even if it has to crawl.
Amen.
But now, at 10 years old, hopefully, he'll know that the cars are going to kill him. What? It's the same baby. So God's the same way. God's the one that's got to guide us. And that's what he's done through these seals and through your journey. He's guided you. So we're coming up to the end of the seventh seal. The end of the seventh seal will be your body change. Everything runs out at the end of this seventh seal. Because remember, the seventh seal's in a threefold. It opened in three folds. Everybody got that? Notice it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. So now let's get read it. Number five. And in Sabina Canyon, he said this is the third pull. And there's three great things that go with it. One unfolded today or yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because in an unknown language. Now don't get caught up with that. We'll break that down later on. But I was standing right there and looked straight at it, and this is the third pull. Now, what, Brother Branham, what is the third pull? It's the opening of the Word. You can call it everything in the world, but it's the opening of the Word. All right? The third pull is the opening of the Word. All right? And this is the third pull coming up. The Holy Spirit of God. Oh, my. That's the reason all heaven was silent. Oh, my. It just shows it's from God, for it fits exactly in the promises of God. From the end of the message. You notice now, for the end of time message. Remember I told you that's the name of this seal. This is the end of time seal. I'll tell you because that's what he said right there. For the end of time message, this seal, after all, he's revealed all the six seals, but it don't say nothing about the seventh. In other words, put the board up here and draw me the seventh seal. Can't do it. It's nothing. All right? And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. All right, what does he go to? Revelations 10:1-7. At the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God will be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now, the seventh seal was spoke of since Genesis. When God said, let us make man in our image, he started the process of the seventh seal. Because that was Christ. Amen? Now, Christ didn't have a beginning, but the Bible says the beginning of the creation of God. So we got to see a beginning for us, a development of God. I want to ask you something. Can you see more about God now than when you started your journey? Think about that. Now, that's not you. Because Satan don't want to have nothing to do with that. He hates your progression. He don't want us to grow up. Amen? Because, see, he met a grown God one time that defeated him by the Word. Amen? And that's what he's going to meet again. He's going to meet a grown-up God. Not a baby God, a grown-up God to defeat him by the Word. All right? For the end of time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. And I believe that if it started, then right here, we're close to the ending of it. What we say the ending are the culmination of what? Redemption. For us. Now remember, this is special. It's for us. This seventh seal ends all things for me and you. Because listen, when we go ahead, when we step out of on this earth and our body has been changed, the dead saints have already come here, so death has been destroyed. Your body's going to be changed. What's left? You're finished. It is the end of redemption for you. Amen? That's why many people misinterpreted Brother Branham when he was talking about redemption being over. Now, when the seventh seal produces itself, redemption will be over. But now remember, it won't be over for the world. It won't be over for the 144,000. It won't be over for the foolish virgin. Cup of water in my name. Redemption will continue on, but for you and me, it will produce itself, and that'll be the end of it. Like I said many times, here we go again, we don't have to stand any judgment. We're already judged. We're already judged, so there's no judgment of that. Sure, there's little things, but I'm talking about whether you're going to be, go to heaven or go to hell. That got settled when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost only went to hell one time, and you went there with him. God himself went to hell, and you went there with him, so you ain't got to go no more. All right? So thank God for that. So, see, our judgment is over. Even right now, your judgment's over. But we got to come to a place to where that what's inside of us is working its way out. All right, let's look at number six. Let's read this real quick. God, seven, is God's perfect number. That's what we were talking about last Sunday. God's perfect number is 7. Now remember, what is 7? 7 is 4 plus 3. 4 is the number of redemption. 3 is the number of perfection. In 7, you're complete. All right? God's perfect number, 7. And we read to you how many there was 800 and something times in the Bible. It's on that piece of paper if you want one. Number 7 in countdown. What does God do? He starts with his number, 7. That's God's number. All right? That's why the seventh seal, when it produces itself, it puts God on the scene. That's his number. All right? Let's look at number 8. Now, the church has 7 church ages, and that's the complete number of the church age. That's all 7. 7 is God's completed number.
Yeah.
Everybody remember that. 7 is God's completed number. And I want you to understand something. I know that we go into an 8. We all know that. But you got to go through 7 first. You gotta go through 1, 2. Remember he read on countdown, he said, man starts backwards and counts down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He said, God doesn't count down, God counts up. Oh, wait a minute, God counts up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He counts up, not down like man does. So remember that. So now let's read 1 Thessalonians and let's get into this just for a second. Everybody all right? Say amen.
Amen.
First Thessalonians 4, now, when we start reading this, I'm going to give you the quotes, and it took a prophet to tell us what this was all about. It took a prophet to separate this and bring this, because you just read it, and you know what denominations, they read that and they go, well, one day, this is just going to happen. Lord's going to descend with a shout. You know, like I told you, that brother, that denominational guy said, I'll be glad when Jesus comes down, splits the eastern sky, and comes down through the clouds. And I said, well, you done missed the rapture, because that's after the rapture takes place. That's when the whole world sees him. We don't want that. Nope, I want the secret part. I don't want to be standing here and watch him come down out of the clouds. He's already descended out of a cloud. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Who is that? You. Remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, now that's himself is personal. He's not sending a second person. There's not one. He's sending himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what I'm telling you. Don't look for a resurrection. I mean, don't look for a rapture. Don't look for your body change. We got to get the dead saints out of the ground first. Remember, God don't skip. God goes, you know why? Because we shouldn't skip. We should go right in continuity. Right here. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's the end. That's the seventh seal. That's the end of our journey. When we go over into another dimension, we've ended our earthly time as far as human time. Right? But now I want to ask you a question. That's we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or changed. But now the dead in Christ, they're not finished because they got to come back here and get their earthly bodies. So their journey continues. Remember, Brother Branham, I'll read you the quote later on, the seventh seal brings him back to earth. You say, well, that's that one person. Jesus don't come back to earth, people, until the millennium. So who is Christ? Christ is those people that are in that sixth dimension. That's what we're missing. Those people are Christ. That's in that sixth dimension right now. And they're going to come into this dimension. That's bringing Christ back to earth. Because who's Christ? Christ is what? In you, the hope of glory. That's his bride. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now that's the first thing we got to look at. Everybody all right with this? Say amen, because this is how we get. Now remember, God's been here the whole time. He has just been bound up with so much tradition and so much this and that, and I didn't do this and I don't do that and this one. He's been here the whole time. When God came down here on the day of Pentecost, He never left. He stayed right here. All right? Now let's go to the rapture message. Now I want you to notice a great thing take place here, and I don't miss it. The Word says here in 2 Thessalonians that there's three things. Notice, from the 13th to the 16th verse, there is three things that happens before the Lord Himself appears. Now remember, three is the number of perfection. Brother Branham saw the seventh seal open in a threefold manner. Everybody all right? Amen? Okay. So there's three things happens before the Lord Himself appears. Now, He's not going to appear in a physical form. We got to get away from that. He's appearing in you. You're the second coming. Christ don't come back at the second coming. We go meet Him in the air. Christ only comes in the millennium when 144,000 has already been sealed. The world's already been through Armageddon. Well, wait a minute. We've already been changed. The earth goes through two witnesses, through 144,000. There's a battle of Armageddon, and then it wipes us off for the millennium, and that's when Christ comes down with us. Now, that's when you see Him in a physical form. You will not see Him before then in a physical one-man form. So it has to be bride form. From even if you just take it from today, it's got to be bride form from today until that day that He comes in the millennium. He's always got to be showing in bride form to the Gentiles. Now, not to the Jews. But remember, He's not going personally to the Jews. He's sending two prophets. Amen? He's sending two prophets. He's not coming Himself. He's sending two prophets, which is what? The Word made flesh in two men, which is Christ. Read Zechariah. They preach Christ so real till they don't say, how did you two prophets get here? The Bible says they say, where did you get those scars? He says, in the house of my friends. Now that's got to be two witnesses talking to them and preaching them Christ so real till they see what they've done. Amen? They see what they've done through them two witnesses. And that's the same way with you and I. This world's only going to see Christ through me and you.
Right.
Look, quickly now we can close. We can. Quickly now we can close. The first thing happens, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Let's read it now. Keep going up. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God.
Right.
Three things happen, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. So when He's descending, these three things are going to happen. A shout, what is the shout? It's the message going forth.
Right.
Now, not the message in books.
Right.
Or quote books.
Right.
The message in you.
Right. Glory.
It's the message going forth first, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride.
Glory.
Bringing forth the bride. Talking to you.
Yeah.
What about that? Let's keep reading the rapture, number 10. This goes on down a little bit further. I cut a few of the paragraphs out. The first thing comes when He starts descending from heaven, there's a shout.
Yeah.
Now, we got to understand some things. And look at these. Remember I talked about the onion peel. Onion's got a real thin layer and you just keep peeling it off and you just keep peeling it off and peeling it off. That's the same way with the Word of God. Because remember, this is saying, if you read it like Brother Branham said it, that means that God didn't come at the day of Pentecost, or the Holy Ghost didn't come on the day of Pentecost, that we've had nothing till now. That's not true. We've had the Holy Ghost in its part.
Right.
In its part. But this is coming to the seventh seal, the completed part.
Right.
All right. When he starts descending from heaven, he's talking about this church age. He's talking about this age we're living in now. All right. What is it? A message to get the people together.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's happened or not. Let's read it real slow. It's a message to get the people together. Has he got us all together yet? You can't get 10 preachers to sit in the same building together without having an argument. But you know what? Like Brother Dale said, you know, the disciples walked with him for 3.5 years. Saw him go through all that, resurrect, and they still wondered what he was doing. Are you going to restore Israel? Are you going to do this? Are you? But we should be way past that.
Right.
To get the people together, a message come forth first. That message we've had. Now, lamp trimming time. The message has come forth first. Stop right here. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth. The seventh said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found out they didn't have oil in their lamps. See, but it's lamp trimming time. Now, he goes back to the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five foolish virgins, they were virgins. And they were wise. Some of them. But then you had five foolish virgins. The wise virgins trimmed their lamp and went up what? They got called away. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. In other words, the shout, what's the shout coming from? The shout's not coming from William, Mary, and Branham. The shout come through him. But it's the bridegroom. We're not married to Brother Branham. We're married to Christ. Okay? We're married to Christ the Word. All right? So it's lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't have any oil in their lamps. Why? It's getting time. What did they say in that scripture? What did they tell them? We've only got enough for ourselves.
Right.
You want me to interpret that for you? Let me interpret that whole scenario for you. The five wise virgins came to church. The five foolish didn't. They were foolish. The five wise virgins studied their Bible. The five wise virgins did what the Bible said. The five foolish virgins did some of what the Bible said. Everybody all right? It didn't hurt your feelings, did it? If you don't come to church, I guess I did. But it wasn't me. Listen, it's time to either be part-time. If you're going to be a part-time Christian, you need to go to a Baptist church. Hello? You need to go to the Baptist church because you're just hindering yourself. You're hindering this whole church. Go to a Baptist church. Get in or get out. My old football coach said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. So that's exactly what we need to be now. Because look, Brother Branham didn't say, now it's time maybe that we might need to trim our lamps, maybe not. No, he said now. Lamp trimming time. Now, either get in or get out. Rise and trim your lamps.
Right.
Where were they? They may have been asleep.
Right. Yeah.
Rise and trim your lamps. And they did, because remember, they came in the seventh watch, which was later on. It was at the end time. All right, everybody okay with that? Now, that word, shout, we're going to go right here, and then we'll be done. Because we're going to get into something else. I want to stop here, and we'll get into something else 2 Sundays from now, not this coming Sunday. Y'all pray for you. Brothers is going to be with y'all this weekend. The word shout is an order. A command.
Right.
Some people take this message as a suggestion. or even the Bible. That's what it said about the commandments. It's not 10 commandments anymore. It's 10 suggestions. I mean, really? An order, a command, specifically a stimulating cry. Specifically a stimulating cry. Either that by which animals are roused and urged by man, as horses by charioteers, hounds by hunters, etc., or that by which a signal is given to men. What? To start a race? A lot of times you have somebody say go, or start, or blow a whistle, or blow a trumpet to rowers. But I watch. With a loud summons, a trumpet call to soldiers by a commander. That's what I want to say, an order or a command. That shout came from God to wake up the bride. And then we're to trim our lamps. It's lamp trimming time. The bride has made herself ready. No, the wife has made herself ready, not the bride. We're not bride anymore. Oh, yeah, we say that because it's terminology, but June's my wife. There's a lot of things in 40 years that we've learned about each other that she's not my bride anymore. She's my wife. She's me. And that's the same way with God. There's not a time where Brother Brown said, yeah, I call you bride, but that's been 50-something years ago. We should be all to the wife now. Now watch this real quick. Let's look at this. Let's go to Joshua. Everybody knows the scenario, but watch what happened. Remember, the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horn passed on before the Lord. Remember, they're going around Jericho. Listen, and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets. And the reward, which is the rear of the army, came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpet. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. Silence.
Right.
But look, all that, but now what am I saying? Everything is going on though. He's setting up. God's setting up to destroy Jericho. God's give Joshua all this command to put these people in certain places. But Joshua says, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. That's our problem. We've been shouting presumptuously because of all these false doctrines. Somebody will have a shout and people will follow it. Let's just really dig down into this thing. People will follow it. Joshua said, don't shout, don't make no noise, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid. Now, what is Joshua a type of? The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in you, until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. You know what was so miraculous? Here's Jericho. This is the whole scene, and we'll close. Here's Jericho. Jericho had walls so big till chariots could run races around the top of it. It was so big there was like a million or so people inside that city. They had shut the doors up. No doubt they had a big army, had to have, having a city that big, to protect them with. But they all shut themselves up in the city. And now you got the children of Israel. And Joshua says, don't say a word. Don't even talk until I tell you to.
Yeah.
So remember the scenario. Then they walked one time around for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they went seven times. But now remember, there was silence.
Right.
Listen, I get unnerved at silence. Don't you? And when these little things going on, you know, it's so you kind of... But when it's dead silence, what do you think about that whole big... Say you take Atlanta and circle it in a big old big old wall all the way around the perimeter of Atlanta. That wouldn't be too bad. Around the perimeter of Atlanta. And then here you got this little army of several thousand people. They got no guns or anything. All they got's them and a couple of trumpets and an ark. They carry this funny thing around. You see what I'm saying? If you were looking out from Jericho, and you're looking out from Jericho, you would think, man, all the men of war, they're getting, you can hear the spears coming together, and you can hear them, you know, they're getting their gear on and they're putting everything together. Maybe somebody pops off a few shots just to make sure they're practicing, make sure the gun goes off. Dead silence. Dead silence. For a week, they go around the city. Seven times. Six times, and then on the seventh day, they go seven times. They don't say a word. There's nothing going on, but there's something fixing to happen. That's what it is with me and you. We're to the place right now. We're getting ready to go around Jericho. Because the last wall we have is that wall that we have a problem with, and that's a body change. But what did God say? God said, Joshua, you tell them, go around. And Joshua said, now when I tell you to shout, you shout. They go around that last day. You see the people in Jericho. They're just watching them. Nothing. It's not saying a word. Zero going on. And all of a sudden, Joshua says, shout. And they bring this great shout out of their lungs, because you know what? They've been 7 days, they ain't said nothing. Especially the sisters. They were busting at the seams. That's true with everybody. Not say something for 7 days. Try it. But you see this great city, and that's what we're looking at now. We're looking at the walls of Jericho. Because there's no way we can knock them down by our own self. But they just walked around it seven times and just stopped. And when Joshua said shout, they shouted. The walls didn't collapse. They disappeared. They went straight down into the ground, because there's no way they could have crawled over all that rubble. The ground opened up and the thing went straight down in the ground. That was a burial. And you know what happened? And if you read the rest of this story, God put a curse on that city. He said, cursed be the man that ever makes this city again. I tell you, cursed be the devil that ever going to come up against us again. He will not win this time. He will not win the next time. And he will not win any other time. So the walls of Jericho are getting ready to come down. But what? By a silent group of people. But remember, when they shouted, they knew what they were shouting about. Joshua told them, the seventh time you stop, turn toward the wall and shout. They got their instructions before they started. You and I have got our instructions. Before we started in this journey, we're getting our instructions. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you match play, you get your instructions. Because that great big wall of Jericho, you know what? We got to get through it. We got to get through it. We can't go around. Why don't you think the children of Israel didn't just go around Jericho? Yeah. Hey, it was plenty of land. Thousands of acres on this side of Jordan and thousands of acres on this side of Jordan. They could have just walked somewhere else, Brother Danny. They could have went and just avoided Jericho. No, God didn't want them to avoid Jericho.
Right.
God wanted to show the people in Jericho and the people that were his people that he was in command.
Glory.
But God didn't come down in a whirlwind. God didn't come down in a cloud. He came in a group of people.
Glory.
He didn't come in all the clattering and all. They didn't have the biggest spears and they didn't have the biggest this. No, what? They had the biggest mouth.
Yeah.
Amen? They had something to say. That's you people. You got something to say. It may be silence. Listen. Let's stand to our feet. Y'all come on. Take what you know and take it to the world.
Amen.
To them it is silence.
Right.
They do not know what you're talking. You can talk to them for hours.
Right.
And they'll not know what you're talking about.
Right.
And sadly to say, half the people in this message, you start talking to them about certain things and they'll look at you with that far off gaze. Like, I'm not supposed to know this. And they'll swear that we're living under an open book.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll swear, oh, this is an open book. We're living under the age of the open book. Hallelujah. How about the seals? No, I don't think we'll worry with them today. What about Daniel's standard? No, that's too tough. That's too tough. No, if we're living under open book, if that book's open now, God ought to be able to speak to you through that. That's the shout. The shout is you and I. There's a shout of the king in the camp, the Bible says. You and I are not recipients of the shout. We are the shout.
Exactly.
Sure, we had to hear all these things. Sure, we had to have a Joshua on the scene. We had to have the Holy Ghost to instruct us on what to do. But on the very day that they took the walls of Jericho down, Joshua blew it and set up on a hill somewhere. Joshua wasn't with them. He was looking afar off, I think the Bible says. He's up here watching his people. So that's what God's doing. He's watching his people. And they're doing what he tells them to do. And if they do it the right way, the walls of Jericho will absolutely disappear. Anything you need, it will disappear. Let's sing a song. God bless you. That's what we're coming to. The end of all things is not the end like you think it is. It's the beginning of the most glorious thing that's ever going to happen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 32, By and By, When the Morning Comes.
Number 32.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Summer skies and howling tempest off the seed of bright sunshine. In that land, the perfect day, when the mists have pulled away, we will understand it better by and by.
Sing it to it.
Trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by.
Sing it to Him.
Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we will understand.
It's all in there. Everything you've tell a story that you live through. Hey, man, it's not secondhand information. It's you. You live through it, so you'll be able to tell it. And God helps you through it. Anybody have a need? We're going to plug right here. But we'll understand it better by and by. Let's sing one more. Let's sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Before we go, you'll be dismissed. Trials of life, yeah, they're going to come. Heartaches are going to come. Situations are going to come. But you know, the children of Israel, I'm sure they had a lot of situations going on in their life too, but they did what Joshua said. They didn't let everything get in their way. They didn't miss. Everybody understand what I'm saying? They didn't miss that march. They wasn't a group of them that went up there and sat in the hill and said, no, we ain't going to participate. No, they all participated because Joshua was their leader. And they wanted that city. They wanted that city to fall because God had already pronounced that it was going to fall. And you know what? There was one lady inside that city that God had to get out. Rahab, the harlot. The old nasty woman that lived on the red light district in Jericho. But you know what? God honored her. Honored her faith and honored her. And you know what? She said, I'm going to listen to them two. Brother Branham called them tape boys. She listened to them and she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. She said, y'all come on, but would you protect me? And the two witnesses, they said, hey, get your household together. Keep them in your house and pull that red rope down. And I'm sure Joshua instructed them, said, look, destroy everything but that. You save Rahab and her family because she has honored God's people. That's why you and I will be, people will get eternal life because you and I are in this world. Just because of you. You. Little old you. Amen? So let's think about that. Let's sing it now.
Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to
Swing low.